ask you to turn tonight to Galatians chapter number 2, but also find in your Bibles the book of Acts chapter number 15. So we're going to be looking at two passages of Scripture tonight that go together. Acts chapter number 15 and Galatians chapter number 2. Last time that we studied together out of the book of Galatians, we finished up chapter number 1. And tonight we're going to get into chapter number 2. And these first two chapters, I'm taking pretty big chunks because there's some historical things that we're going over. And I'm not dealing with a lot of specific things like sometimes we do. So I want us to just start tonight by reading in Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1 and read all the way down through verse number 14. And that's how we're going to start tonight. So Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 1, and just keep your place in Acts chapter number 15. The Bible said in Galatians 2 and 1, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now, that's a mouthful. That's a lot. And you might read down through that, and there's several things in there. What's that talking about? What's that talking about? What's that talking about? And so there's a lot of things that are going on in chapter number 2. And I hope to try to help clear up maybe some answers to what is that? What does that mean, or what does that talk about? And I think Acts chapter number 15 will help us see and understand what's going on in Galatians chapter number 2. Now, in the Bible, there's many places where there is a parallel passage of Scripture, or there's a passage of Scripture that speaks on the same thing, or they both are related to one another. And Acts chapter number 15 and Galatians chapter number 2 are parallel passages of Scripture. They are related to one another. And we're going to go over there in just a minute and read some verses. But just by way of review, in the book of Galatians, chapter number 1 and chapter number 2 are personal. And so the Apostle Paul is talking about personal things that have gone on in his life that pertain to the Galatians. Chapters 3 and 4 are doctrinal. Chapters 5 and 6 are practical. What I really wanted to get to in starting this study and for us to really delve into is chapter 3, 4, 5 and 6. I want to get to those chapters, and so I'm not taking as much time in the chapter 1 and chapter number 2. But chapter 1 and chapter number 2 are personal, but we could also say they are historical. And what I mean by that, by saying historical, we're learning details about the early years of the Apostle Paul. He's just sharing some things that have gone on in his life. Now, we learned just a few things by way of review. We learned about his call in chapter 1. In chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And he talked about, or he reminded the Galatians, that he was also called to be an apostle. Now, you remember the Apostle Paul was one that the Bible talks about born out of due time. He didn't walk with Peter, James, and John, and all the 12 disciples. He was called later. He was directly commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we went over that in chapter number 1, and I preached out of Acts chapter number 9 as well. But we learned about his call. We learned about his religious life. Paul, who before he got saved, his name was Saul, but he talks about in verses 13 and 14 about his religious life before he got saved. If you could be saved by being religious, Saul would have never had to get saved. He was very religious. He was very dedicated to what he calls the Jews' religion. Chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, he said, "For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." The Apostle Paul, or Saul, before he got saved, he was a Jew. He was an outstanding Jew, meaning he was at the top of the class. He was a son of a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. You couldn't be more religious than Saul was. So if you could be saved by being religious, well, Saul wouldn't have never had to get saved. But that's the case that he's making. He's saying to the Galatians, "I was very zealous. I was above and beyond my fathers." But guess what? He wasn't saved. He still needed to be saved. And he's making the case to the Galatians that were not saved by keeping the law. If you could be saved by keeping the law, he'd have been good to go. We learned about his religious life. We learned about his early Christian life. Verses 17 and 18, he said, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days." After he got saved, first thing he did, he didn't go up to Jerusalem. He went into the desert. He was away for 3 years. And then he went up to Peter, and he only met Peter and was there for 15 days. So we learned about some early things. Then we learn a little bit later on, verse 23 and 24, about his reputation after he got saved, before he went up to Jerusalem the first time and met the apostles. What did he do? He was preaching the gospel. He was establishing churches. And in verse 23 and 24, he said, "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me." So before he ever went up to Jerusalem, before he ever met any of the other apostles, they had heard about him. They had heard, "This man that used to persecute us, he's saved. He's preaching the gospel." And they glorified God about that. So that's some things we learned in chapter number 1. So notice what happens in the beginning of chapter number 2, and look how it starts. Then. And so he's continuing on about what happened after the events of chapter number 1. "Then, 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem." Now, look back in chapter 1, verse 18. He said, "Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter." Then go down to chapter 2, verse 1. "Then 14 years after I went up again
to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. So he's talking about something that happens later on in life. Now, 14 years later, he is referring here to what happens in Acts chapter number 15. So I want you to go over there to Acts chapter number 15 and we'll learn what happened when he went up this second time. Went up the first time and stayed 15 days, met Peter, didn't meet any of the other apostles, but then after that, 14 years after that, he went up to Jerusalem again, and he's referring to Acts chapter 15. Now, we're going to just read a few verses here in Acts chapter number 15, and you'll see the reason why he went up to Jerusalem this other time. So Acts chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible said, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." So this is why the Apostle Paul went up to Jerusalem. There were men from Judea which came down and taught the brethren, "Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." And so a group of men come down, and what were they teaching? They were teaching that you had to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. Well, guess what? That is exactly what Paul is dealing with, that same problem at Galatia. That's why he mentions this, because it pertains to what he's writing to the Galatians about. He's already dealt with this. This is already something that he has considered and that he's dealt with in his ministry. Well, verse 2 says, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question, and being brought on their way by the church." Now, I've got that underlined in my Bible. This whole thing happened under the authority of the local church at Jerusalem. They were brought on their way by the church. They passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church. I've got that underlined. They were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Now, Acts chapter number 15 is a chapter that a lot of times maybe people might just skip over. They might say, well, there's a lot of details and there's a lot of things going on in there in Acts chapter number 15. And there are a lot of things going on. It is pertaining or pertinent to what was going on in the church at Galatia. And that's why the Apostle Paul refers to this. But the reason that they went up there is because of what we read in verse number 1. "Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." And so that's why Paul goes back and talks about what's happened before. But I want to just say a quick something about what is actually going on in Acts chapter number 15, because there's several things in Acts chapter 15 and in the book of Galatians that pertain to us in a Bible-believing church or in a Baptist church. And this is what is most interesting to me in Acts chapter number 15, is that Acts chapter number 15 is actually a business meeting. It is a business meeting of the church at Jerusalem. Now, a lot of times we ask the question, why do we do things the way we do things? We ought to do things the way we do things because that's how we learn it from the Bible. And so if I find a business meeting in the Bible and I want to be a good steward over what God has put us in charge of, then we ought to get our example from the Bible. And that's what's going on in Acts chapter number 15, is a business meeting. So our model ought to be from the Bible. And sometimes people incorrectly, they say, well, how do you conduct your business meeting? Well, we follow Robert's Rules of Order. And when I first started pastoring, a preacher gave me a copy of Robert's Rules of Order. That's parliamentary procedure that goes back, comes from England, and it goes way back centuries ago, but it's not from the Bible. Now, parliamentary procedures, we have a moderator, and you know, there's some courtesy there, and there are some things that we follow. But I learned a few years ago from the Christian Law Association, you better not say we follow Robert's Rules of Order, because how many people's ever read the whole thing? I've got the book, but I've never read the book. And I've got an abridged, but the book. You ever watch C-SPAN and how they're talking up when they're conducting business on at Congress or in the House of Representatives? And, you know, there's all the stand up, moderator, and yield back and all that. That's Robert's Rules of Order. We don't follow that. That's too complicated. Don't say we follow Robert's Rules of Order. That'll get you sued. Because somebody that has read it will come along and challenge you on it. That'll get you embarrassed. That'll get us exposed as really not following what we say we're following. But in the Bible, if we follow the Bible, it's actually pretty simple what goes on. And so what's going on in Acts chapter number 15? Everything that goes on in Acts chapter number 15 is by the power and by the pattern of the church. They were brought on their way by the church, verse number 3. They were received of the church in verse number 4. In verse number 12, then all the multitude gave silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Verse number 22 mentions the church. I meant to read verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church. The church was involved. The church was the one that they looked to decide on what was being considered before them. Now, it was all done by the pattern of the church and the power of the church. The church came together and they heard the disputing that was going on over this question. Now, they had a moderator. James was the pastor. James was the man who sort of kept things from getting out of hand. He, what we would call, moderated over what went on at the meeting at Jerusalem. He's prevalent all throughout the chapter, but just an example, verse number 13, the Bible said, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. James was in charge of what was going on. He was moderating, what we call moderating. Each party was heard. Now, we do that in our business meeting. If somebody has something to say, they stand up and they have the fathers before us, I guess you might say, they were allowed to give their light on a subject. They could speak, and then they sat down, and somebody else has some light, has something to say about that. They stand up, they speak, somebody else. That's how we do things. That's how they did at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. If you read down through the chapter, Peter stood up and he said something, and somebody else, Paul, stood up and he said something, and they heard what everybody had to say. That's how we do. Each party was heard. Verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know that how a good while ago God made choice among us. Peter stood up. And now notice, there had been much disputing. I'll tell you something, make a pastor sweat as much disputing in a business meet. I like it to go smooth, don't you? You ever been in any that it made you really nervous? That's why my hair's gray. I've had some of those. But there was much disputing that had gone on. Each party was heard. What we really want to pay attention to is in verse number 15. You know what they followed? They followed the Scripture. They followed the Scripture. Even then, James, after everybody had said what they were going to say on it, on the subject, the Bible said in verse 15, and to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. Now, James had been the one to say in verse number 12, or verse number 13, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Everybody said what they've got to say on it, and James stood up and he said, here's what the Bible says. I hope that's how we conduct our business in the church. That's what he did.
He said, here's what the Bible said in verse number 15. In verse number 28, I like what it says over there. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. They were led by the Holy Spirit. They were led by the Holy Ghost and what they were doing. If we're not being led by the Holy Spirit, we don't need to be doing whatever. They were led by the Holy Spirit. It seemed good unto us and the Holy Ghost. Here's something that's interesting in verse number 23. Letters were sent and received. Verse 23. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. And we have a pattern even for us today that churches send letters and communicate with one another. You know, if somebody goes and joins another church, and sometimes people are confused about this. They think that they have an actual letter. Let me tell you, that's not your letter. That's the church's letter. That's the church's letter. I've had people say, why won't you to give me my letter? Well, you can't have your letter. It's not yours. It's the church's letter. And so what good is that? Somebody goes and joins another church and that church will send a letter. And they'll say, brother or sister so-and-so is coming, wants to join. And we say, yeah, we know them. We do know them. They were a member here and they're a good member and we highly recommend them. That's what they did for Paul when he went away. They wrote letters and they said, yeah, they were down here and this is what went on. And so there's the sending and receiving of letters in a church. And Paul is talking about what went on. If you go back to Galatians chapter number 2, and I thought about taking a couple of weeks and dealing with this, but I decided against that. But Paul is talking about in Galatians chapter 2 what went on down at Antioch, and they wrote these letters sent back with the Apostle Paul. And in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number, Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible said, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. You know, we do that in church. Somebody comes and joins and they say, you know, we agree together and we're on the same page doctrinally and we're going to work together in the church, and we give what's called the right hand of fellowship. And so we have letters and we have business and we have things, and people say, well, those things aren't important, but they are important or God wouldn't have put them in the Bible. It's not up to us just to come to church and say, we're just going to do this thing any way we want to. We don't have that authority to do that. We have a pattern. We have an example in the Bible. And so this is why we do some of the things that we do. And so we ought to find our answer in the Bible. And if we're doing something out of the Bible or what's called extra biblical, we need to really examine that. And so we always want to be rooted and grounded in the Bible. And so we come back to Galatians chapter number 2. Paul said, I went down to Jerusalem. He's writing to the church at Galatia. I went down. He's saying, I've dealt with all of these things before. Already I've dealt with this in my ministry. And I want to say that tonight that most of the things that you deal with, you've already dealt with before. Most of the things that a pastor, and sometimes somebody will come along and they say, boy, I've got a question, I've got a circumstance, I've got a situation, and let me tell you, it's already been dealt with before. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse number 9, there's no new thing under the sun. I guarantee you, whatever's going on in any of our lives, it's already gone on before. Whatever false doctrine there is out there, you know, you might say, well, the Jehovah's Witnesses came along and Charles Taze Russell and said that Jesus was not deity. That goes all the way back to the first century. It's not that this stuff has not been dealt with before. The attacks against Christianity, they have no new arguments. It's all been dealt with before. Paul is saying to the church at Galatia, we've already dealt with this. This subject has already come up. We've already talked about that you cannot be saved by keeping the law. And so this has been around a long time. So he goes back. Let's read verses 1 and 2. He said, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." Now, notice he tells about going up in verse 1. Verse 2, he said, "I went up by revelation." That just means this. It was the revealed will of God for his life that that was what he was supposed to go and do at that time. Paul said, "I went up. That was what God revealed to me to do. I went up by revelation. That was what God laid on my heart or told me to do." The Apostle Paul was not a free agent, just doing his own thing. We need to be careful about what we do. Are you doing what you're doing? Is it? Could you say that's the revealed will of God for my life? That's what God wants me to do. That's what Paul was saying. God told me to go up there, and that's what I went. He is not a free agent. Remember in chapter 1, verse 10, where he said, "For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Remember, he's already said he was a bond slave. He was a bond servant. He was not out there just doing whatever he wanted to do. I'm afraid there's a lot of people today that just say, "Well, I'm just do whatever I want to do." Paul never had that attitude. He went up by revelation. The Lord led him, told him to go up there. And Paul is living his life under the guidance and the direction of the Lord. "I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles." When he went up there, he shared with the apostles. He told the apostles. And then he goes on down and said, "But privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." He said, "I went up to the apostles and I preached to them. I told them exactly the gospel that I had been preaching to the Gentiles." See, he had not gone up to Jerusalem up to that point in his life. And when he got there, he said, "This is what I've been preaching." He went to the apostles. He told them what he had been preaching. And so he went to the apostles. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't hiding anything that he was preaching to them. He said in verse number 3, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek." Now Timothy, his mother was Jew, his father was Gentile. Titus was a Gentile. He was a Greek. He did not compel Titus to be circumcised. Circumcision was a Jewish thing, not a Gentile thing. And so he's telling the Galatians that he never compelled Titus to be circumcised. And that because, going on down reading verse 4 and 5, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." Now, he's saying a lot of things there. Verses 2 through 5, he went up to the apostles. He wasn't ashamed of anything that he preached. He's saying in verses 3 and 4 that he did not compromise in any way. He did not change his message in any way because he was around Jews or because he was around the Gentiles. He said, "I preached the gospel and I didn't change it for anybody. I didn't compromise, depending upon my audience." Preaching to impress people or changing your message because of who is listening will always get you in trouble. Paul didn't say, "Well, I didn't change my message when I was around the Jews. I didn't try to add anything to impress the Jews that came to listen." There were some that came in, but he calls them in verse number 4, false brethren. If we'll just always be faithful to God's word, it'll keep us out of a whole lot of trouble. If we'll never get in our minds, "Well, we got to change our message a little bit because of who we're around," that'll get you in trouble. I've had this happen several times in my ministry down through the years. I've had preachers, and you know, I taught at the Bible college. Some of them, you know, I
They'll call, say, Brother Wynn, you taught church doctrine and administration. We are redoing our constitution, articles of faith. We're thinking about adding some things. I've had that happen a few times. I had one preacher, he was going to add, well, I'm not going to talk about what he was going to add, but he was going to add some. You know, they was trying to, you know, be really. And I said, well, if you can find it in the Bible, that'd be all right. But I'm telling you, if you are pressed on it, you're going to be hard. It's going to be hard to find it in the Bible. What you're getting ready to put in, you cannot back up with Scripture. Why don't we just stick with the Bible? There's safety in that. And a lot of times, and especially, there's pressure among young preachers, I think, sometimes to let the world know, you know, we're really against everything. Well, just be against what we find the Bible is against, and that'll keep your plate full for the rest of your life. You go to adding a bunch of things you're against and then try to back it up with the Bible, you might find you don't have any Bible to back it up. And so I tell preachers, better be careful what you go to adding. See, when we talk about the Bible, is God's Word not precious to us? And we believe it's sufficient for everything that we believe. And boy, if somebody takes away from the Bible, well, that gets you in trouble. Read the last chapter, Revelation chapter number 22. But do you know it also warns against adding to the Bible? It says add to or take away. There's a lot of times that people try to add to what the Bible says. That'll get you in trouble. Just stick with the Bible. And that'll keep you out of a lot of unnecessary trouble in this life. So if it's not in the Bible, in the Apostle Paul, he's saying to the Galatians, he said, I preach the gospel. I didn't change it for anybody that come along. These false brethren come in unawares. They're trying to catch me in my words. But what was Paul guilty of? Just preaching the gospel. He didn't add to it. He didn't take away from it. He preached the gospel to them. And so he talks about in verse number 4, these false brethren unawares. Do you know, it'd be nice if we could say, boy, we live in a world and there's no such thing. But there is such thing sometimes. There's false brethren. And we realize that. But he did not change his message to suit the false brethren that come around to try to catch him in his words. He said in verse number 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. He didn't change his message for 1 hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now, verse number 6, he says, but of these who seem to be somewhat. Now, here's a parenthesis. Parenthesis is there to explain what is being said. So here's what he says about, but of these who seem to be somewhat. He said, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. He said, whoever these people were, it didn't matter to me. He said, but of these who seem to be somewhat, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. I've encountered before these who seem to be somewhat. And you know, until I was studying this out yesterday, I've never really noticed how it says that. But Paul said, these who seem to be somewhat, whatever they were nothing to me. And boy, I'll tell you, if you're around a little while, you'll find in churches a lot of times there are those that seem to be somewhat. They seem to really be something. I remember as a young preacher going to different churches and preaching at several different churches. You know, I preached for 3 years before I started pastoring. And there are some churches that was interested in me coming and being their pastor. So I go and preach, and I'm sure I've told you about some of them before, but I remember going to one church in particular, and an elderly man comes up to me, slips his arm around. We are really wanting you to come. You know, he seemed to be somewhat in the church. And I got the impression he wanted a preacher, you know. Not me to be his pastor, but he wanted
to be the big guy in charge. It completely turned me off.
I did not feel at all led by the Holy Spirit that God wanted me to go to that church. I found out later I wasn't led. I mean, they had a lot of problems. His mister seemed to be somewhat.
I went to another church one time. Had a very similar experience. Brother Wynn, we love you, and we'd love to talk to you, and you come, and
seemed to be somewhat. But Paul said these seemed to be somewhat people. They added nothing to me. Those who seemed to be somewhat. I just think that's interesting. Then verse 7, he said, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Now, what is he talking about? When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. He's talking about what I preached about back in Acts chapter number 19. Remember when Ananias was sent down, he saw the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he was blind. And he went into Damascus. And the Lord told Ananias to go down there and lay hands on him. And Ananias had questions about it. This is the guy that's been arresting and killing us and hauling us into prison. Lord, are you sure? And the Lord told Ananias in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. He's going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are the uncircumcision. The apostle Paul was that's where we get that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Well, Peter was the apostle to the circumcision, to the Jews. Verse number 7. Contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. So Peter is at Jerusalem, and if you study out the book of Acts, the church at Jerusalem just about died out. The church at Antioch became the center of Christianity that was growing and flourishing and seeing revival in the church at Jerusalem. They weren't going. They were staying there. They had to be persecuted to get out. But Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, Peter to the Jews. While the church at Jerusalem was dying, Paul, all these years, had been busy going and going and going and spreading the gospel. And everywhere he went, people got saved. And churches were established. They saw that. Verse number 8. He said, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Paul was just as much an apostle as Peter was. God blessed Paul the same way that he'd blessed Peter. That's what he's saying. Verse number 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace of God that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. And so what he's saying there, they recognized that they were all preaching the same gospel. They could all work together. They were not opposed to one another. They gave Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Fellas, we're with you. God bless you. He's with you just like he's been with us. Verse 10, the Bible said, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. He didn't have to be told to do that. He was already doing it. And he's still talking about what went on in Acts chapter 15. Then he goes on to something else that happened later on in verse 11. He said, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So what was Peter guilty of? When Peter was around the Gentiles, they all went out to Burger King together. But when James sent some Jewish brethren down there, Peter, all of a sudden, he wouldn't fellowship with them no more. They said, hey, Peter, we going out to Burger King this morning? He said, no, I don't think I'm going with you fellas.
I've got to go be with these Jewish brethren. He withdrew himself. Boy, how would that make you feel? Peter was, the preacher was eating and fellowshipping with you one day, and here come these bigwigs down from Jerusalem, or these Jewish brethren down, and now Peter, he won't even go out to eat with them no more. Won't have anything to do with them no more. And that's why Paul rebuked him to the face. He said, Peter, that's not right. And let me say, that's not right. And so there's some lessons in these verses. Verse number 10, verse number 12, he withdrew himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So what do we learn from that? Even among the apostles, nobody's perfect. You know, I think a lot of times we take preachers and we put them on a pedestal and we hold them, and they ought to be held to high standards, but let me tell you, nobody's perfect. Peter wasn't perfect. Peter was a man just like the rest of us. We learn from this, everyone should be held accountable. You know, Peter shouldn't have done that, but probably the only one that had the guts to say anything to him was Paul. And Paul went up and withstood him to the face and blamed him and said, you're wrong, brother. You're wrong to do that. Nobody is above being accountable to others. And there's a lot of harm done by religious leaders in all down through time, but in our day and time, anybody that thinks they're above everybody else, anybody that thinks they're above the law, there's a lot of harm done by that. Peter was not guilty of a moral lapse. He didn't do some moral sin, but he was guilty of giving in to peer pressure. And that's what he did. These Jews came down and he said, boy, I can't be seen eating with these Gentiles anymore. And he was with the Gentiles until the Jews showed up. And then he said, well, I'm not going to fellowship with you. Can't eat with you. That's what he was guilty of, peer pressure. And peer pressure, any of us are susceptible. Verse number 13, it affected other people. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. That word dissembled is the opposite of assemble. When you assemble, you put something together. When you dissemble, when you find that word in the Bible, you're tearing something apart. The other Jews, well, they jumped on that. Likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also, hey, Barnabas is a good guy. But now Barnabas is caught up in this Jew-Gentile thing. Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. That word dissembled and dissimulation, it both means the opposite of a symbol, but it means to act hypocritically, to act under a feigned part, hypocrisy. There's a dictionary in the King James Bible. If you're reading a verse and you say, I don't know what that word dissembleth means. Well, it means dissimulation. It means to tear apart, to act like a hypocrite, to tear something apart by acting something that you're not. Those words go together there. Dissemble, dissimulation. I wish I could say that would never happen in a Baptist church, but Baptist people are guilty. I guess I could preach about others, but I think we're all Baptists here tonight. Is there any hypocrisy in? Yeah. I wish there wasn't, but there is sometimes. Sometimes even in Bible-believing churches, they can become legalistic. Well, if you don't dress a certain way and act a certain way and talk a certain way and eat at a certain place, you're not in the in crowd. So we need to be careful about how we act towards others. And then on the other side of the ditch, there's being so liberal that you don't have any biblical standards whatsoever. You say, what's the answer to that? Well, just stay in the Bible. Just do what the Bible says and live and make our standards from the Bible, and everything will be all right. And so there was dissimulation. That this was tearing the church apart. And then verse number 14. He said, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto, and I really like this, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Paul said, you're Jewish,
and you can't even keep the law. Why are you trying to get these Gentiles to keep the law? You can't even keep it, and you're a Jew. You were raised that way. That's all you've known your whole life, and you can't keep it. Why are you trying to get these Gentiles to try to keep it? They sure can't keep it. They like BLTs too much.
That's bacon, lettuce, and tomato. You know, Jews can't. You Jewish people can't even keep the law. Why are you trying to get the Gentiles to keep it? And so the whole case in all of this, you say, preacher, what's that mean? What Paul is trying to drill into the hearts and minds of the Galatians is that we are not saved by keeping the law. You cannot be saved by keeping the law. He said, we've dealt with all this before. And I remember way back there, and Peter even got caught up in that. But the Jews can't even keep the law. And if the Jews can't keep the law, we sure can't keep the law. Why are you trying to get the Gentiles to do it? In chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The good news of the book of Galatians is that we are saved by the grace of God. That means you can't do anything to save yourselves. You're saved by grace. That means God gives you something that you cannot obtain by your own efforts. That's the grace of God. And that's what the book of Galatians is teaching us. All that just to say that. He goes on later in chapter number 5. He says, we've been called unto liberty. We've not been called into Christ to bring us into bondage, but to bring us out of bondage into the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved by the grace of God. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you are being called into the grace of God. You are being called into the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't be good enough, and there's nothing you can do to obtain it. And being baptized and joining the church and being a good person and all the things that people are trying to do to get saved, that's not how you're saved. You're saved by the grace of God. It's the gift of God. He just says, come get it. Come get it. If you're thirsty, come and drink. If you don't have any money, come buy. He'll give it to you. You can have it. Well, you don't get that deal in the world. But God says, here it is. Here's salvation. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Isn't that easy? Isn't that simple? That's how simple it is. And so that's what he's trying. That's what is so great about the book of Galatians. Salvation's by the grace of God. And so we'll stop there at verse 14. That's a lot of verses. That's a lot of things to take in. But maybe that'll help tonight as we think.